writer-director Court Crandall from, well, he's the guy who came up with the idea for Old School, is going to be in studio, and we'll talk to him. Also, the news as well. First, there's Geico.
Do you own? Do you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
It's time for Nicaraguan Name That Movie with Adam's buddy Oswaldo. See if you can guess which movie this famous line is from.
Blue Yuri Boy.
If you said Old School.
Blue, you're my boy!
You're correct. Now, back to the show.
Court Crandall in studio. He's a writer. He's a director. He's a raconteur. He's a businessman. Bromates is the name of the movie. It is available on VOD as we speak, and we'll talk about who's in that and how it works as well. Best known probably from Old School. Everyone's in that genre. It's in the top five of everyone's favorite movies, Wedding Crashers and Anchorman and all that kind of stuff. There's a good little run there.
Well, I'm so angry that I didn't come up with Wedding Crashers. I don't know if you feel the same, but such a good idea.
I came up with Jimmy Kimmel with the 40-year-old virgin, and Ivan Reitman told us to get the fuck out of his office.
Interesting.
Except for it wasn't even a 40-year-old virgin. It was a 37-year-old virgin. And he was like, nobody believes your horrible idea.
Yeah.
And then 2 years later, the movie came out. So I'm sure you've been there.
I've been there a little bit. In fact, even a little bit with Ivan Reitman, who wasn't as big a fan of my original premise for Old School as I was.
Reitman's not a – he's a salty – he was a salty dude. He didn't suffer fools.
Uh-huh.
He didn't even suffer fools with good ideas.
Yeah.
He didn't suffer anybody. And he didn't mince words. And if you sat in his office, he would cut to the chase real quick. I don't know if you've been dressed down by him.
No, I never had an actual meeting with him. I gave the script to Todd Phillips, who brought it in.
And he liked it originally, or he didn't like it?
Well, he just felt like I think the words I got, and I may be wrong with some of this, but was it really about guys starting their fraternity again? Should it just be guys going through a midlife crisis? And I said, no, it's
both.
Definitely about guys starting the fraternity again. That's kind of the hook.
Right.
So that's where it started.
And I know happiness is a big issue for you, and you gave a TED Talk on it. Learn to be happy in 2014. One of my favorites, Dennis Prager, wrote a book about happiness, and he does the Happiness Hour every week on his radio show. And I think it's a big deal, and it's kind of a serious problem, and it's also not as – I don't know. We look at it as sort of meringue or something, but it's a big issue, and I'm wondering what some of your thoughts are on happiness.
I don't know if it was happiness that got me started, or anxiety as we age, about this notion that, you know, you start becoming irrelevant because you can't keep up with the pace at which technology or your industry is changing. And so just trying to find a means through that, which for me was going back to learning things rather than feeling like I had to have all the answers. And that helped a lot.
So being happy for you is connected to learning.
It is connected to learning and exploring. I know you're a big fan of this idea of doing things that challenge you, that make you uncomfortable. And I've tried to do the same things. There's still stuff like airplane turbulence that really gets to me. But most things I try and just have the attitude of, why not give it a shot and see what happens?
Yeah. Yeah, I did Dancing with the Stars because it made me uncomfortable. And then when I danced, it made other people uncomfortable. So then we all got a lot of the experience of it. So when one puts together a TED Talk, what is that process? Does somebody come to you? Do you reach out? And then what?
Well, the first one I did was actually about this program I created based on my son playing basketball with these boys from Compton who sort of defied my notion of what kids from Compton would be like. And so I tried to create this idea around in a world of lines that separate us, one line that unites us as people, which was the free throw line at Compton High School.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. And right. So, yeah, it ended up being a documentary and all these crazy things happened during it. And so someone approached me about doing a TED Talk almost as a fill-in at the end. And then that went pretty well. And so I was trying to help a friend get his TED Talk. And I said, I got this other idea, but I don't know if you guys want me back. I don't know if, you know.
It must have been a funny pitch, like the rusty-haired white kid shows up to Compton and goes, we're playing hoop. Yeah. It's a free throw competition.
Yeah.
So I haven't seen that doc. Where can we find it? It sounds really interesting to me.
It's hard to find. And it was on Apple for like an hour and a half. It was ahead of Moneyball, and then things changed. So I should put it up on
YouTube. What's the name of it?
It's called Free Throw.
And what's the general concept?
The general concept is all these lines that divide people, race, religion, politics, economics, to create this one line, which is the free throw line at Compton High School that unites people. And my hope was we take these kids, regular students, have free throw contests to give away a college scholarship.
Wow.
And what ends up happening is kind of crazy because we have one basketball player involved. We debated even keeping him in. He ends up rattling in his shot. The girl who's shooting underhand, who's never played basketball in her life, ends up rattling out, and he wins. And so I'm kind of disappointed at the moment because there goes the David and Goliath story I wanted to tell. But he ends up getting a full ride to play at Cal State Northridge, and he gives the $40,000 we gave him to the runners-up. And it literally became the biggest news story in the world for a day. And so it was kind of like, you know, way bigger than
I could
have
imagined. She was Rick Barry style.
Yes, Rick Barry.
And what was it? Best of 10 or 20 or how did you figure it out?
Question. I think it was best of 10. It's funny. I can't even remember exactly what it was. I think it was best of 10 shots.
And what'd she do?
It's been a while now, but I'm tempted to say she maybe got 6 or 5. He kind of, the jitters got to him and he was not shooting as smoothly as you would expect.
So that then got you into the TED Talk. How did that lead into the TED Talk?
I think my wife got me into it because she suggested to someone at the local TED Talks that, hey, my husband just did this thing. You guys might want him. And so at kind of the 11th hour, they approached me about it. And
was that nerve-wracking?
It was nerve-wracking in the sense that I feel much better speaking if I have some prompts. So that was helpful. But I also felt this incredible weight to carry that story for the people of Compton. So it was kind of bigger than me, and I didn't want to screw it up for them.
Well, and as much as I understand giving a TED Talk, it is very – I can't imagine it being done at the 11th hour because it's – you know, don't you have to get lots of script approval? You do not diverge. This would be tough for you as far as I understand.
Well, see, this was earlier on.
Oh, okay.
And so there was
they have
a little
more
leeway.
Now.
Yeah, they came up with more rules. The toughest thing was the second one I did, you know, you got to get all amped up for it, and I get through it all, and I'm like, yes, did it. And I walk off stage, and they go – yeah, there was kind of an audio problem. We're going to clear the whole place out and have you run it again.
Wow. Did you say prompts? Do they have prompters that you can use?
No, you can't use a prompter. That's a rule. But I had slides.
Why is that a rule?
Yeah, I don't know. I think they just want to have it be speaking.
But from what I understand, you can't use a prompter, but you do have to be pretty word perfect from the script that you submitted to them.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That would seem difficult, especially for 45 minutes or I don't know how long yours lasted.
Oh, mine were only like 10 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Which I think was helpful. And I just didn't have that much to say. Get to it.
Brevity.
By the way, Adam, do you know that we've met before?
Sure.
Do you?
Anyway.
Nice.
Anna Faris.
Well played.
Yeah, where have we met?
I'm sure it was not one of the most seminal moments in your life, but you were early on in K-Rock when you were with Jimmy doing the Mr. Burcham.
Wow,
I was such a fan
early.
Of that I, we had this campaign for Virgin Cola, and it was all about was Branson bringing Virgin Cola to
Branson.
The U.S. And so our premise was Coke and Pepsi have spent billions and not said anything. We're going to create the soapbox and let the rest of America stand on it, say whatever the hell they want. And I was such a fan of his that I said, oh, we got to get this guy, and I just let you do what you want. And I think you did some bit about like the need for partitions to separate urinals so there wasn't secondhand splatter.
Yeah.
Lo and behold, where 20 years later or whatever, those are commonplace now.
Wow.
So We have you to thank
for that. Changing the world, man. Yeah.
I'm the vanguard.
I remember Virgin Cola. I remember going somewhere downtown-ish. I don't know if it was right in the middle of downtown, but it was definitely kind of, you know, it wasn't in Santa Monica, as I recall. I remember going somewhere downtown-ish, or maybe I was shooting a 1-800-COLLECT commercial there 2 years later. I can't remember. And standing up on the soapbox, they just said, stand on this box and deliver your rant.
Yeah.
And
I don't know if I can do it.
I don't know if it ever aired or I've ever saw it anywhere or if I ever got paid. I don't know what it was. It's just somebody called and said, you want to go do this? And I was like, yeah. Do you remember what year that was?
It must have been like 95, 96, somewhere in there.
That would have been.
And I have no recollection whether you got paid or anything else. But I do remember you saying to me as we were walking, they're like, my friends tell me, you know, this entertainment stuff's hard. This shit isn't hard. Roofing, that's hard.
I still say that.
It's like it was yesterday.
Yeah, that's what I tell people all the time.
Exactly.
They always want to know, why do you work so much? You work so hard. I'm like, hey, you're not. This isn't working. Working is above us. Scraping shingles. Get calibrated.
Yeah.
And that's a thing that will help you be happy if you can get calibrated a little. I think the problem is. Most people don't have, you know, working a summer or a couple of summers for your dad's construction firm in between college courses is not enough. That's enough to understand that drywall's heavy and it sucks to move it, but it's not enough to completely immerse yourself. No. I went full Jane Goodall with the blue collars. I lived amongst them, you know. You sleep on the futon. You eat the top ramen. You do it day in and day out. And with no end in sight. That's the other thing, too. When you're doing it for the summer, you go, I'm working my dad's outfit. Then I'm going back to Brown University after, like, I got a calendar here. When there's no end in sight, you learn real misery. And then later on, you're paid to write jokes or stand on soapboxes and talk about secondhand whiz. And it doesn't feel like anything.
Yeah. No, I agree with you on all the parts except that. I mean, I remember just bussing tables and getting through 3 months of the summer of misery was enough to kind of clue me in.
Oh, you got where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Boston. Mm-hmm. I'd work up in Maine in the summers, and like the local kitchen help didn't really love the summer kids. And what? I made one cook so angry he reached his hand into a boiling pot of water, grabbed a lobster, threw it on the plate. There's your fucking lobster.
Wow.
I'll get your attention.
I wonder if we can find any Virgin Cola commercials from a billion years ago. So yeah, wait,
seeing like some people remember like in Reddit like 5 years ago, people are coming. They're trying to find it. They say they can't find it on YouTube or anywhere, but it was part of the Say Anything campaign for Virgin Cola where you got on a soapbox and ranted about dividers and urinals. So people remember it, but it's just not online.
We were talking about revisiting the bathroom etiquette ideas here. I don't know if you've ever discussed that in any detail, Court.
I mean, I'm sure my wife has strong opinions on this matter. Bathroom etiquette being toilet seat up and down, or just
first off, I don't the toilet seat up and the toilet seat down. I don't get that argument. That's a weird hill to die on, ladies.
You
want it down, we want it up, so we have no qualms about putting it up. You shouldn't have qualms about putting it down.
Yeah.
And that thing where they go, I go in the middle of the night in the pitch black and I put my ass on the cold. Take a look around.
Yeah, or reach, touch. Yeah.
Or put a light on.
This isn't my argument.
It's a weird argument, right?
A, it's easy to just kick it down with your foot. B, I have my own bathroom.
And you got gravity on side.
That's right.
So if not that, then what? I'm more concerned now.
Well, there was that Funny or Die video from it. Was it Funny or Die or was it College Humor? It was College Humor from a million years ago. But we recently had a bunch of new people working in this building, and they come from a building where I didn't explain to them the bathroom etiquette. The bathroom etiquette, and when I say this, everyone listening should institute this in every single workplace. There's big commercial operations with the self-closing door and the flap and the push panel, but maybe every business around here is the same thing. It's 5,000 square foot, 13 employees, and two bathrooms. And you want to know what's going on. And everyone here, when I laid down the rules of the bathroom and the bathroom etiquette, they embraced it.
immediately. Most of my decrees fall on deaf ears for many, many years. Many years.
For many, many reasons.
For many reasons. But bathroom etiquette, one and done. 10, 12 years ago, proclamation, I got up on that soapbox, I gathered my unwashed masses around me, they tugged at the hem of my garment, and I said, look, here's the deal.
Chris, turn the volume up in the building.
If the door is shut, someone is in there. Don't ever do the back finger knock, don't ever stand and wait, don't ever check the knob. When you leave the bathroom, do not pull the door shut behind you. Door shut, someone's inside. Door wide open, walk in as if you don't have a care in the world. Door ajar, you enter at your own risk.
Caution.
Right. Slowly, slowly enter. That's it. Those are the only rules. Nobody's ever been caught on the pot with someone banging on the door here. No one has been standing outside a door that's been closed only to find out no one was ever in there. These rules were implemented early and often. Everyone bought into the plan. And it has been smooth shit sailing ever since this was announced. Correct?
Correct.
And where has it gone awry?
What's gone awry is a bunch of new folks, bunch of townies, came into this building, and they didn't get coached up. Yeah. Socias versus
the Socias are the greasers.
Yes, the greasers versus the – we had some Socias come in here.
On our turf.
They didn't get explained the etiquette. And so they would leave and shut the door behind them or leave it wide open after they blew the place up. So they didn't get down with the cause. But so we had to have a second meeting.
All right.
This is a new employee orientation, right?
Yeah, this is our onboarding.
There's no key cards.
You got to have standards.
Yeah.
Right?
Anna Faris just revealed that she was slapped on the ass by Ivan Reitman first day of production.
Jesus Christ.
I don't know if we really need to hear that, but he was a tough guy.
Seems like it.
That's what I can tell you. I normally sit around while Jimmy yells at other people. That's been my experience, but it was kind of nice to sit and have him get yelled at.
Oh, nice.
That was very cathartic for me. Thank you.
Look, I'll be missed, but if we're going to take two, now that I've learned this, two classic comedy concepts that worked 100% up against his, say, last 10 years of movies, I'm going with the ones that he didn't like.
Yes, he was doing shit. Remember he did that movie called like Stupefaction or something? It was the smiley face with three eyes.
Evolution?
Was the poster. Evolution. Was it Evolution? He did Evolution. And Evolution was a turkey. I mean,
his last 10 years of films were fucking a rodent cobble. Bombs everywhere.
Oh, Brian.
Evolution. How dare you speak of this man who passes? It was so beloved. But he was doing Evolution, which has got to be 19% on Rotten Tomatoes or something.
I go sub 20.
Sub 20. He was doing that movie while he was explaining to us why our movie was a piece of shit.
Yeah.
So he gave the thumbs down effectively to 40-year-old Virgin and Old School. Two of the...
Well, he ultimately went with Old School. He just needed
43 and 48. I guess Duchovny carried that that bad boy. But he was not a fan of our film. And then I think we settled in with a premise that we liked. I should pitch it to you, Court. Maybe you could get it made.
God knows I'd try. What do you guys think about the whole critics thing, though? This has been a very interesting dilemma for me lately. I feel like they assess movies by the same criteria, or comedy by the same criteria they assess drama, and it's about character development and what happens in the second act. And this
comes up a lot. We talk about this.
Yeah, because it seems to me that the movies I grew up loving, the Stripes and Caddyshack and whatever, it's like I wasn't as worried about whether Carl Spackler had a clever backstory and how he evolved during this as whether he was funny and whether I could quote his lines. Exactly, yeah.
I think movies are, did you laugh? And I don't like any review that said it had a lot of laughs, but right. it's like saying I went to the ice cream place. Yeah, they had a lot of fudge and yeah. nuts and whipped cream and ice cream, but
it wasn't very good
it's
for me.
Like, I don't know. If you laughed a lot, then yeah. aren't we kind of there? Yeah. I think the disconnect is this, and it's going to sound self-serving, but creating something, whether it's a sitcom or full feature film, that has a lot of laughs consistently and all the way through it is very difficult. And I think the critics, it's like when people used to watch SNL and go, oh, come on, I could do better. Mm-hmm. No, yeah. you couldn't do better. It's very difficult to put these sketches together in a short period of time and have them all be funny or at least five pluses.
Yeah. In a week.
You've got the bar way too high for how easy this thing is. So I think whether, you know, it's like, you appreciate the fuck out of gymnastics because you sit there and go, oh, I could never, you know, if you,
right.
but then you watch curling and you go, I think I've had a couple beers. Yeah. I think I could, you know,
it's sweeping,
and so
right?
you tend to Give kind of month. Appreciate yeah. things based on the perceived difficulty of them.
Yeah.
And comedy is very difficult, yet people all think they work with someone who's funnier than you are. Right. And thus that's the first disconnect. They think it's a little easier than it is, but I would say, I don't know, check the batting average.
Yeah.
How many millions of comedies weren't unfunny? It's yeah. it's de facto a low percentage. It is difficult.
Right. Yeah.
Versus most horror movies are scary.
Yeah.
Right. Some are better than others, but they're at least scary. It's right. just an easier genre to execute. Yeah.
I think that's true. I think people also, like, I don't know how you guys all feel. But I'm not a huge theater guy, but when I go to the theater and they'll make a joke, I'll go, all right, that's a three. But everybody wants to show how witty they are by
yes,
the fact they can get this pun.
Oh, like in a musical yeah. when there's a joke, there's always
tread lightly, Court.
There's always an eruption of laughter.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's almost like in a presidential debate, if one guy makes a quip, everyone will laugh. It's just more
well,
like
they don't
expect to see it. Their funerals get big laughs.
Yeah.
I've found the many ones I've played. So I think the first thing is they think it's easier than it is. They right. don't realize. And then the next one is they're looking for more in it than they should be looking for in it, as you said.
Yeah.
Well, and think of it if that was reversed. If they're looking for a comedy that's funny the whole way through and has all the arcs and all the exposition, all the character development, then they should expect those really, you know, well-written dramas to be wall-to-wall laughs.
Right.
Yeah,
and how does that work?
Or like, shouldn't every drama then make you cry, like move you to tears?
Every
it's so dramatic.
One of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, by that logic.
Where did how'd Old School come about?
Old School came about because I had an experience. I was in a fraternity in college, and years later I ended up at a party out here in Hollywood Hills with our creative directors at the time, and they had, you know, this opulent house, and they had someone carving a ham back there, and they were serving white wine. There was literally someone playing the harp.
Nice. Wow,
and I thought,
harp.
Oh, fuck. Like, where's the fun gone? Could somebody just give me a red solo cup? Mm-hmm. And so that's what was the genesis of, like, trying to recapture your youth in the most kind of pathetic fashion, which would be starting the fraternity again. So,
and then what was the next move?
So then the next move was I had an agent at the time. I got it to Todd Phillips, who I had shot some Virgin Cola commercials with and some ESPN commercials. And he brought it into Ivan. Ivan said he liked the idea, but he wanted the guys to be younger and so forth.
Take out the frat house.
Yeah, and then I rewrote it super quickly and stupidly in like a couple weeks and passed it back in. And then he was still unhappy with things, I guess. And then I just, you know, did the option, and Todd and his partner wrote like another six drafts or so.
Was it just happenstance that you got on with Todd Phillips and Virgin Cola?
No, I mean,
ago?
We hired him. I think it might have been his first ad campaign.
Really?
Yeah.
What ESPN campaigns were you working on?
I did a whole bunch. In fact, when you brought up Jimmy, I had them, we tested Jimmy for a character called The Rick. I don't know if you've ever seen this guy.
Oh, the Rick was a character.
Yeah, yeah, my name is Rick, but everyone calls me the Rick, and he lives in his parents' attic and stuff. but we ended up going with my buddy Michael Malley.
Oh, that's right.
But, yeah, we did college game day basketball, NHL, the ESPYs, X Games.
The ESPN spots, the Sports Center ones, are really funny.
Yeah, those are great. Those were Wieden and Kennedy at the time.
They would, every once in a while, you want to talk about, besides Terry Tate, office linebacker, which once I get onto that, that's a rabbit hole I will never get off
it's
of.
It's the only commercials I've ever seen in the history of advertising that were pitched as like, here's an idea. Do you guys want to have this as your brand?
And all fully nothing formed.
Gets, yeah, nothing ever gets made that way. Yeah. But somehow, I think it was Reebok jumped on that. And they made a lot of money.
You've never seen it?
I mean, I can guess the premise.
I ended up watching like 28 of those in a row.
Just find the original like Super Bowl ad. They're shorts that go on for like 12 minutes, but the original Super Bowl ad, please find it. It's art.
I don't think they're even that long, 12 minutes, are they?
Oh, no, there's like short movies.
Oh, there are?
Yeah. Like the history of Terry Tate.
Pretty short, too.
But 12 minutes?
No, they were short like 30 seconds.
I'm telling you, there's like 8 minute ones. Yeah. Whatever it is. They're
yeah, I've seen longer ones, but 12, I'm just starping on 12 because that's super long. But three or four. But anyway,
either way, the Super Bowl ad is the one.
He gets injured, and the white guy comes in to kind of take his place, and there's friction with this kind of Bosworth type character that's come in. Like, it just keeps going.
So it's like it's episodic, the whole commercial campaign?
Which one's the one?
He's the office linebacker we've talked about before. It's the most violent thing you've ever seen. It's exquisitely executed. And I don't know. Yeah, you can
find... The guy was born to play that role.
Find the first one. Born to play that role. And then later on...
Terry Crews type.
He gets injured later, and a new guy showed up to take his place, and there's friction. Like, it just keeps unfurling.
It's a 1 minute.
All right, here it is.
When we asked Reebok to send us Terry Tate, some people thought we were crazy. But I'm a firm believer in paradigm breaking, outside the box thinking.
Hey, buddy.
Break was over 15 minutes ago, Mitch!
And since Terry's been with us, our productivity has gone up 46%. We're getting more from our employees than ever before.
You know you need a cover sheet on your TPS reports, Richard! That ain't new, baby!
Hey, Terry.
Hey, Janice!
But what's really impressed me is how Terry's become part of the Felcher family. He fits right in here.
Oh, my God!
That's a long distance call, Doug!
To be honest, I wish Reebok sent us 10 Terry Tates.
You want to play games, Gene? Well, when it's game time, it's pay time, baby. Woo!
Fucking perfect is that?
Yeah. That's amazing.
Use of the name Mitch is also great there.
Yeah.
Mitch!
It's the best.
Yeah.
It'd probably be too violent now, even.
Yeah, it'd be a tough sell today.
Yeah.
But goddamn, that's perfect.
Yeah.
Everything's a tough sell today, right?
Everything's a tough sell, right?
Certainly comedy-wise.
Yeah, there was one. As it evolved, a new sheriff showed up to Felcher and Son, and there was a white guy, and Terry got injured.
I forgot about
that.
And Terry was on vacation, and had a new guy come in, and Terry started getting jealous. It must have been – so at ESPN – I mean, that was Reebok, but ESPN has done a lot of fun stuff. Like, did they just let you guys run with that stuff?
They gave us a lot of leeway. And I always said it was almost like a good college sports team where one group would graduate on and the next people were kind of inculcated into the system. And they placed a lot of value on the agency and the opinions of the agency. And so we got to do a lot of fun stuff. And there was a bunch of improv and different stuff we did.
The Bromates, which is what we came here to talk about, which you directed and co-wrote.
Correct.
It is available now on VOD. It's got Lil
Rel. Still in the theaters a little bit this week, I think.
Oh, still in.
It's been in for a couple weeks.
Rob Riggles in this, Marla Gibbs. Josh Brenner, Lil Rel.
Flula Borg, who was here many years ago. Funny.
He's the best.
And Snoop Dogg was the producer of it? Executive producer?
He was one of the executive producers, yep. And he's in it as well. Yeah.
How'd that work?
Worked out great. I mean, he showed up on time. He knew his lines. And on time was 6:30 a.m., by the way.
For a stoner, he's a super hard worker.
Unbelievable.
He's like quietly just a crazy entrepreneur.
That's what I would say. It's the number of things he's in and just his schedule is kind of almost frightening to me to be that committed to that many things and smoke that much weed on top of it, which is truly amazing.
Yeah. He's kind of the Keith Richards of weed, I guess. Although I don't know what Keith's schedule is. But if you smoke that much weed, you'd just be in a fetal position under a cot somewhere yelling for someone to call Dr. Drew.
Sure.
But he smokes his ass out and then goes about his business. And he's like coaching football putting on football clinics and USC or UCLA?
I played basketball at SC.
Didn't he have a son that played football?
He had a son who played football.
Oh, football too?
And I think he stopped either his freshman year. I'm tempted to say it was UCLA.
UCLA.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the guy just kind of.
He does his thing.
He's impressive.
Showing
and
up
just a nice guy.
Doing Corona commercials.
Yeah.
And there was a great, I love that scene at his mom's house.
Oh.
There's a lot of fun twists in the movie.
Yeah. That scene was tough because we had planned different things to happen. He was going to originally get hit by a car and end up in a full body cast. And then his manager said, yeah, no, he's superstitious. He won't get hit by a car and die. And so I said, well, then he'll just get like injured and stuff. And they go, no, he won't get injured. And then we were going to have him play miniature golf, but then we couldn't get to the miniature golf with our budget on the time we had left. So we ended up doing the grandma's house thing.
No, that was so funny.
But I say my favorite experience of that day was, you know, he's waiting to let the guys out when they get released from jail. He paid their bail. And so he's sitting there and he's smoking weed as they walk up. And we shoot that, and then we shoot the next scene where they get in his car, and he doesn't have a joint in his hand. So I said, you know, Snoop, in the first scene, you know, you had a blunt in your hand, the second one you didn't, so we should probably give you one now for continuity. And he's like, oh, yeah, man, for continuity. And then for the rest of the day, he'd be smoking going, for continuity.
Nice.
I got killed by an ice cream truck in a Man Show bed.
That's right.
And here you are.
And here I am. All right, let me tell you about Good Rancher store-bought meat. Well, that means scary bacteria and ghoulish prices. Recently, 44 tons of meat got recalled. Trade in that spooky store-bought meat for peace of mind with Good Ranchers. They deliver America's best meat and seafood year-round. Their October feast special. Well, it just got better. Up to 4 pounds of meat free. Order any box and get over 2 pounds of their better-than-organic chicken breasts free. And if your order is over $300, you also get 2 pounds of Wagyu ground beef as well. So head to goodranchers.com/Adam to claim your special October feast for 4 free pounds of meat today. That's Good Ranchers, right, Dawson?
Good Ranchers lets you save $25 on every box and lock in your price when you subscribe. Put an end to your meat buying nightmare by visiting goodranchers.com/Adam to get over 4 pounds, free pounds of high quality beef and chicken. The real monster isn't under your bed. It's in your fridge. Take control of your food with an October feast from Good Ranchers, American meat delivered.
Man, if you hadn't brought up that virgin cola thing, I never would have thought about it ever again until well after I was claimed by that bakery truck that is now inevitably gonna run me over. But it's weird. I mean, I guess it's interesting. It's interesting how the mind works. I remember many things from that era. I never thought about it. And now, as soon as you brought it up, I was like, oh, yeah, standing up on that that box.
Have you thought about I'm curious about your whole career, because you have had as varied a career as anyone I know, and almost like the Kevin Smith thing, living by your wits. Has it been intentional, or are you just kind of see opportunities and say, oh, I'll try that?
Yeah, I try not to say no to things. I like a lot of different stuff. I have this feeling like if I see someone make a
feature film, I go, oh, I could do that. Or if someone does stand up, I go, oh, I could do that. I have this impulse of like, oh, I think I could do that. And then once I think that, then I go, oh, I could write a book. Then I tend to want to go do it.
Yeah.
But I never really think about how it works or the history of it or the trajectory of it. It's just sort of get up. There's something else to do. Go do it. And then someone will go, you want to do a documentary about X, Y, or Z? And I'll go, oh, that sounds, I could do that. Yeah. That sounds interesting.
I believe you famously said, how do you make a documentary? You make a documentary.
You just make it. Yeah. I mean, you do kind of learn that all that stuff is sure. Just, and then it just becomes about everything is like a 2-year process. So the more processes you can have going at once, the more. Yeah. Finishes you can have. If you just kind of do them one at a time, then you have to wait 2 years in between whatever the unveiling is.
Yeah.
But if you start, it'd be like building projects. You know, if you're building 5 custom houses, that one's in framing and the other one they're hanging sheetrock and the other one they're putting the case and base on and they're finishing the floors. Like you'd always, because you do need little paydays. Like you do need a little, oh, we're having our premiere party or we're walking down the red carpet. You know, you need you need a finish line every once in a while. So if you start a bunch of different shit, you'll have a bunch of different little finish lines.
Yeah. No, it's a great way of thinking about it.
I should do a fucking TED Talk. I'm putting that on my list.
Yeah.
Hey, I could do that.
I do the same thing, obviously, to a lot lesser degree, but just I call it like Forrest Gumping my way through life. Just why can't I try that? Instead of – I feel like people get in their own way a lot.
Most of it is I'm trying to think of who told me they didn't have time for something.
Was it to write a book?
No, it was Dawson to walk 12 hours.
Oh.
The point is most stuff is just – slow and steady, God, what is that proverb? But it's many hands make for light lifting, that kind of stuff. You know, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. Oh, most of that shit's right. It's all just sort of start.
Right.
We have a Virgin campaign, not with me in it, but we have the soapbox from like 1995?
98.
There
we go.
Say so.
How come you never see any Asian guys on TV dance shows? I mean, you got Asian women, you got white guys, you got Latino guys, African-American guys, but there are no Asian guys. Asian guys like to dance too, you know? I mean, I'm an Asian man, and I like to dance.
That was my bit.
This was not one of our better ones, I might add.
That's pre-Jabberwockies, apparently.
They're never going to pull a very good example of anything I have noticed.
That's funny. In these certainly not from 1998.
But
was the cola good?
The cola was good, and it did really well in the UK. The problem is they vastly underestimated what Coke and Pepsi would do to squash them. So by the time the commercials were running, they were getting kicked out of stores and
couldn't
all that.
Get shelf space.
Yeah, couldn't get shelf space.
Was it like RC cola? I can't remember if I ever tasted it.
RC is all right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Shasta. I mean, they're all pretty comparable.
Yeah. All right, we'll take a quick break. Court's going to hang out. We'll come back and do some news right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. Weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gino Grad. Stuff they saw on TMZ. Joe Biden. Kamala. Meet news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Hold on. We need a ball puller for this weekend in San Diego. So, Chris.
Yeah. So, if anybody's going to the San Diego shows this weekend and wants to pull balls, send an email to questions@adamcarolla.com. Put ball puller San Diego in the subject line. Tell us about yourself and which show you're going to.
Thanks. All right.
Well, we've been talking a lot of Kanye and his sort of bombastic anti-Semitic.
He got dropped by
thoughts.
Virgin Cola, I think.
That's exactly right. And you can add that to a longer and more growing list. He has lost another business partnership. Adidas announced it is cutting ties with him over his behavior. The company said in a statement, "Ye's recent comments and actions have been unacceptable, hateful, and dangerous, and they violate the company's values of diversity and inclusion, mutual respect, and fairness." They said they're ending production.
How many sneaker contracts does Adidas have with Jewish fellas? Okay.
So Kanye was right about the Jews.
Before you get up on your mountain, Adidas, tell me how many NBA Jewish players you have lucrative contracts with.
Very good point.
Thank you.
And now, talk about unearthed. Everybody's doing a little digging into Adidas's history. And
Got some World War II stuff.
I have two words for you. Hugo Boss, if you catch my drift.
Yeah, I don't. Well,
apparently the founders of the company had thoughts that may echo some.
I mean, if you're in a country and then they go, we got to start making tanks, then you kind of have to start making tanks.
The best dressed tanks on the market.
They did have the best design.
They did.
Of everything.
That's exactly right.
I'm talking about the tanks were the best. The Tiger tank was the best. But I just mean, like, I guess at a certain point it goes past tank and gets into ovens and stuff.
Sure.
And I guess you can be a conscientious objector, but I don't know how you tell the German government in 1941.
Ask Oscar Schindler.
Yeah, back off. We're not building anything for you.
Well, I think that, you know, everyone's like, where's Adidas on this? Why are they so quiet? I want to be like, hold on. They're crunching the numbers. Yeah. They have to figure out some things, I'm sure. So apparently the Yeezy brand accounts for 8% of Adidas's total sales. The company expects to take about a $250 million hit. And I'm assuming that that's less than of a hit they would take than if everybody boycotted Adidas.
Yeah.
Corey, you ever do any Adidas spots?
I never did. I actually went to them with my free throw documentary to see if they would fund it.
Bullet dodged.
Along with, Nike.
You don't want to be part of that organization.
Yeah, the interesting thing is I heard on the news this morning, they have a ton of inventory for Christmas that they're going to eat. But
they're going to give away.
They finally got around to.
He was also dropped by CAA.
Right. Oh, really? So,
and again, like you said, F me money, like, it's not going to make Kanye go away. He's set for. He's fine.
If those soulless goals dropped him, must have really done something wrong.
Yes,
you got to work.
Well, I think there's I was talking to Dr. Drew about this, and I think there's. First off, if you're a private company, you can do whatever you want. So I'll try to be consistent, but there is a difference. I think, like, are you for companies dropping things or boycotts or whatever? And I would kind of say it's case by case. If you do something that's egregious and horrible and foul, like he did, like he really did it, then he doubled down on it, then he tripled down on it, then in a weird way, you don't give you don't give the company a choice, essentially.
Right.
I push back on the kind of nothing burgers where
I'm just distancing myself.
Yes, where ABC's got to distance themselves from the host of The Bachelor, or The Talk has to shit can Sharon Osbourne over nothing burgers. That I fucking hate all day long. It's still their right. I just hate it. But then certain times you don't have a choice.
Right.
If you're guy, you know, you're some NBA star, you sponsors banging some underage chick or something, then you have to do it.
Yeah. And I know I'm not exactly their target demo. Maybe I don't know. But I was looking for shoes last night. I ended up, I loved these ones, Adidas. I was pulling up some Puma, some Nike, and I got the Puma ones. And my husband was like, well, why didn't you get the Adidas? I was like, fuck them. You know, so I think some people would just have that too much in their head. Now, that was the night before. I wish I would have pulled the trigger today. But, I mean, I think there's enough people that it would do more than $250 million worth of damage.
When he – is he not fully divorced from Kim Kardashian yet?
I thought that was a long time ago.
Well, but things could drag out for
– Look no
further than Brad Pitt.
Right.
These things can go on for years. So I don't know that it's been settled. And then what is he getting out of that versus what is – she's got a couple of shekels in the bank.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, is he – he's got a lot. I don't know if he's got more than her.
I doubt it. I think we've talked about how on a Forbes list or something, she makes more.
Could be a Tom Brady Giselle situation where either way, it's a shitload.
Well, and he has $150 million he has to put under his mattress now because the bank dropped him.
Did see whose net worth is more, Kim or Kanye? And then are they divorced? I don't think they're divorced yet. Well, I think this has been going.
And as of when? Because Ben just sent me the headline, Kanye West reportedly no longer a billionaire as companies cut ties. So I think Mm-hmm. As of right now, she's definitely out in front.
I'll do what everyone I hate does. I think he'll be just fine.
Oh, I think okay. he'll land on his feet.
I think he's got $775 million. I think he'll be fine. I'm worried more about the school teacher
Understood.
Who's having trouble putting dinner on the table. You understand?
Understood.
Yeah.
I wonder how many – actually, I can answer this myself since it's a Christian school. But I was going to say I wonder how many kids at the Donda Academy are Jews. Mm. Probably very few.
You guys always hear those bullshit. You know, my heart bleeds for all the poor dumb shits out there. But
when I always hear these,
you do hear these stories where they go like, you know, with the economy that's going on today, many, many parents are having to make a decision between school supplies and dinner. And I'm like, well, first off, how big a fuck up can you be? But number one, aren't school supplies just almost free at this point? I mean, what would Walmart,
pencils
Target,
and a trapper keeper.
There is a 99-cent store like, that can provide just about everything you need.
Don't you feel like, is it really, but you know, have a choice. I'd choose dinner, by the way.
Meatloaf or peachy folders.
Always vote for meatloaf. Yeah. But is that really what we're talking? I get it. Things are expensive and people don't have money. But shit like that is almost free now?
See, like Brian said, there's a dollar store in every corner.
There's a dollar store next to it is the Panda Express where for $6 you can load up.
A pound of food.
Yes. Sorry. Sorry, poor people.
Yeah. So interesting. Don't know if you've heard about this yet. Fox News reports that the New York State Supreme Court has reinstated all employees who were fired for not being vaccinated, ordering back pay and saying their rights had been violated. The court found Monday that, quote, being vaccinated does not prevent an individual from contracting or transmitting COVID-19. New York City Mayor Eric Adams claimed earlier this year that his administration wouldn't rehire anyone who had been fired over the vaccine status. NYC alone roughly fired 1,400 employees for being unvaccinated earlier this year after the city adopted a vaccine mandate under Bill de Blasio. Many of those fired were police officers and firefighters, so they have to be reinstated, I guess, if they want to,
good.
And they'll be
back. Fuck all the pussies who are like, you're putting us all in danger. We can spread it. You get vaccinated and be on your fucking way. Good. Net worth, the divorce is ongoing. And the net worth is Kim is worth $1.8 billion.
Okay.
With a B.
With an M.
That's billion with an M. Kanye, $2 billion.
For now.
As of yesterday.
As of yesterday, yeah.
I think he'll be just fine.
Okay. I think he'll be just fine. Okay.
Financially, he'll be just fine.
That's
mentally,
right.
Emotionally, all those things. I don't know.
It's a little bit of a spiral.
Yeah.
Really sad, I guess we kind of saw this coming, maybe. Sad Brittany Griner news. A Russian judge has denied her appeal of her 9-year prison sentence and ordered her to be moved to a penal colony. The 32-year-old WNBA star who was detained in February and later convicted of possession of cannabis oil was hoping to have her prison sentence reduced. Instead, the judge upheld the sentence. Now Griner's best hope for release lies with the U.S. government doing a prisoner swap.
How much does Putin know about this?
It's pretty public.
Is it coming from him?
I would imagine.
I think so.
Just holding on to...
He's like simultaneously trying to work his strategy out with Ukraine, and then someone is also talking to him.
Who's
about
more
Brittany
image
Griner?
Conscious than Putin? Yeah. Fucking horse, shirtless horse pictures. He's on a skate to score the goal.
That's right. They let him
defend
win
the man,
games.
But the horse was naked too.
That's a good point. So, if it was some random Russian, do you think they'll get 9 years for cannabis?
No. I'm saying, is he literally weighing in on her case and at the war room pushing around the magnetic tanks and stuff with the Ukraine.
I think it makes sense since the only way out of this is a prisoner swap.
And
who do they want?
The war is not going well for them. So
depends who you ask, Brian.
Well, but maybe it's not going well because he's so fucking distracted by this one person.
It's up to NBA.
It's 100%
right. Well, I've said this many times, but I mean it. Not only is she in this fucking horrible prison, but she's tall.
Yeah.
You don't want to be in a third world place or a shitbox country and be 7 foot tall and in prison. You're going to whack your head on every single cement door jam in that entire place. And what the fuck? And then what do we do? Do we offer some? Ugh.
Yeah.
We didn't we offer Victor? Oh, but not for her, for somebody else. Victor Bout, remember the?
No, like we already have allegedly offered someone like an arms dealer.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
but I think we got somebody else back, not her. I can't remember his name escapes me. But she did say in a statement she did not intend to bring the canister into the country. She was hoping the judge would reduce the sentence because she pleaded guilty to the charges. And again, I have questions about how hard her defending attorney is working for her over there. But she says that this is very stressful, very traumatic. U.S. officials and Britney's wife, Sherelle Griner, insist she's being wrongfully detained to be used as a political pawn. So we'll see who they get back.
Sure. Do you remember that movie Return to Paradise?
Yeah.
Vince Vaughn get caught with enough weed.
Thailand?
Yeah. That has always stuck with me.
That Midnight Express, I get it, and I'm too depressed to watch this.
Yeah.
I've heard Midnight Express is like the most depressing movie ever made.
Oh, you never seen it?
Never seen it.
It's a classic, but you're going to be depressed.
That's my whole thing.
More depressing than like The Pianist or Schindler's List?
Well, apples and oranges, but exceptionally depressing. Okay. Bleak.
No, bleak. Yeah, I got it.
Schindler's List could be uplifting in a certain way in that this guy had this humanity in the middle of whatever. But
there's none of that.
None of that. Now, I'm watching old school again.
Well, let's stay in the courtroom just one more time. Harvey Weinstein's L.A. trial kicked off Monday with opening statements. They didn't even call him a disgraced producer, a former mega producer. He's charged with several counts of rape and sexual assault. His attorney, Mark Werksman, told jurors to be prepared to hear a fire hose of false and unprovable allegations from women who agreed to have consensual sex with Weinstein but are now embarrassed and lying about the encounters.
That's what everyone I've had sex with does. They're all humiliated.
They should put you on the stand.
Lie about it.
At one point, Werksman pointed to Weinstein. This is fabulous. And said, look at my client. He's not Brad Pitt. He's not George Clooney. Do you think these beautiful women had sex with him because he's hot? No, it's because he's powerful. Werksman argued
that checks out.
Sure, transactional sex was common in Hollywood before the Me Too movement. He said it may have been unpleasant and now embarrassing, but everyone did it. He did it. They did it.
So they're not denying it happened. They're denying that the intention.
Exactly. And one more. Werksman said if Jennifer Siebel Newsom.
Sorry, go
ahead. No, it is. If Jennifer Siebel Newsom, the first partner of California, California's first lady, quote, she'd be just another bimbo who slept with Harvey Weinstein to get ahead. If she wasn't the first
lady.
But
weren't a lot of the allegations like he threw them on the bed and then forced himself on?
There's a pattern of abuse. Like,
yeah, I'm a little more powerful than you.
He did a lot. He, like, if he was dressed and someone knocked on the door, he would change into a bathrobe. Like, every story is he answered the door in his bathrobe.
Right.
Which I guess you can pull off in a hotel setting. It doesn't work residentially as much.
That's
it's like 4:30 in the afternoon.
Do
you have anything barf virus or something? Are you clinically depressed? Like, he probably did all this shit in the bathrobe because there's that nice bathrobe with the Four Seasons and it's begging for you to don it.
Yeah.
Right.
And for some reason, if you're in your hotel room, you can, you took a shower at 3 in the afternoon and now I'm in my bathrobe and now you're knocking on the door.
And he allegedly always switched meetings to his hotel room. You know, like they were supposed to meet at the bar, the lobby.
So he did the whole bathrobe move.
Yeah.
That's his signature move. And then the lawyer switching it from this didn't happen to
he did it.
Yeah, they agreed on it.
Exactly.
That's how she got the role. It's like he's doing a thing where he's going, hey, he's not proud of it, but that's the way this town used to work. I could offer up 200 million examples of it. This is just a guy who did the most of it.
Right.
It's an angle.
Yeah. Might work for a jury. Yeah, we'll see.
I mean, as far as angles go, I guess that's the best one to take.
Yeah, but this isn't going to let him out. He's already in prison in New York. This is just another trial.
Yeah. So he's out here now. I should ask Mark Geragos where he is, the Twin Towers.
Maybe we can get him on.
You know what's really weird? I don't know if you guys have experienced this. Maybe, Court, you have. I'll see movies. I can't think of off the top of my head, but I'll see movies today, recently, that have the Miramax logo.
Yeah.
Because they're like attached from like 5, 10 years.
Love.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but I'm saying a new movie.
Oh,
that they're like attached from like 5, 7, 8 years ago. And it's like Miramax. So, like you almost get like a shudder. Like, oh, they're still around.
That's wild. No, I hadn't noticed that.
I didn't think I'd notice that.
Wait a minute. Did my movie have that in the front of it?
We got to strike that. Your movie's getting canceled, bro.
It was never uncanceled. Was the Hammer? Did the Hammer have a Miramax thing?
Or was it the Weinstein company?
Oh, it was a Weinstein. Yeah. Well, yeah, I think it was the Weinstein. I think I got that in my movie.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Well, I just watched that the other night, by the way. I like that.
Oh, thanks.
The Hammer, yeah.
I appreciate it.
Are you still boxing at all?
My hands are too fucked up now.
Come over here and find out.
Yeah. That's like one of those things. Like I'm looking at him going, I kind of feel like I could hang with him. And then I take three shots to the head.
I would do shadow boxing now. Yeah. My hands are too beat up to hit the heavy bag. But actually, it becomes a little blessing in disguise. Because the best thing you can do to sharpen your boxing skills is to shadow box in front of a mirror. That's the best thing you can do. But everyone wants to wail away on the right. bag. But when you wail away in the bag, you're just kind of cementing bad form. So actually, shadow boxing is a good, better way to get the technique set in.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because we want to talk about Jake Paul again. He is giving those picking Anderson Silva to win on October 29th enough time to reconsider, telling TMZ Sports that they're going to lose all their money. TMZ spoke to Paul, who's currently the betting underdog against the former UFC champ. And despite having a ton of respect for his opponent, because he went on and on very effusive about Silva, Paul says he's out for blood. As soon as they hit the ring, here's a clip of Paul describing how it's going to go down and how long it's going to take.
And everyone who bet on me, good stuff, man. You're going to have some dough, maybe a new car, maybe your rent paid. Because I'm knocking this guy out. I promise everyone that.
Do you have a feeling that when you imagine how it unfolds, is there a round? Is it early in the fight, late in the fight? When do you put him out?
Less than five rounds. Guarantee that. Come back to this interview, everyone, after the fight, and they'll say, wow, he predicted the future. I have a crystal ball in my room, and I can see it.
Yeah, I think a lot of the experts I speak to say take Anderson Silva because he's got such great hands and such great experience and blah, blah, blah. But he's 47 years old, but he's naturally big. He's very fluid and been a lot of discussion. He's a favorite, but I don't think it's by much. But it's hard to bet against Jake Paul.
Have you put money on it?
No, Mike August keeps calling me and wanting to know what we're doing for the fight. And I'll see Mike this weekend in San Diego. So we bet on a few UFC fights in our day. And it's tough. It's really 47 versus 25. Mm. You know, that's the rub.
Anderson, so you think the stamina?
Not so much the stamina, but just the general what the difference between you at 25 and you at 47 is just a thing.
Yeah.
Now, when Anderson Silva was 30, he was one of the best guys with his hands and everything else in the UFC, and he's also a boxer, so it's not just UFC, grappler guy going against guy who's been training at boxing. Mm-hmm. It's just the question is that 22 years span? That's the rub. And that's why the fight's exciting because Anderson in his prime would probably make short work of him, but now he's 47.
It's more of a fair fight.
A couple of sites that I just checked have Paul as a slight favorite.
Oh, really?
Whoa.
I guess it's moving around.
It is a little bit, but between 100, minus 130 and minus 150.
The Hammer just has Lionsgate on the front of it, I guess. I swore it had Weinstein.
Yeah, I was going to say that's a better one to have on the front.
The one that's streaming. It just
the one that's streaming.
So I don't know. Maybe it's different when you saw it in theaters. And
they canceled that shit.
I think they may have. Maybe somebody took that off of there. Well, anyway, one more, Gina Graham.
All right. Let's talk about some pants. Some very interesting pants. A pair of Levi's jeans from the 1880s. Yes, has sold at an auction in a small town in New Mexico for more than $87,000. Now, I'm going to give you a job description that
I already
is
know
fascinating.
It. I know this story.
Okay, well,
it
the jeans.
$85,798 in the front
that's
pocket.
That's exactly right.
That's
right. That's like when they do the $10,000 ice cream with the diamond on top.
Yeah.
No. This is the jeans were found in an abandoned mine by a denim archaeologist. Mm. They were bought by a 23-year-old.
Sounds like a gay term, right?
Indiana Jones 6. Denim archaeologist.
If you're a power bottom, also a denim archaeologist.
And someone who was a veteran of the vintage denim market. The jeans were sold for $87.4, one of the highest prices ever paid for a pair of denims. Only a couple of similar pairs exist, but they're kept in museums. They're too delicate to wear. These are apparently wearable. The jeans also – now, it's a little hard to see on the screen, but – the jeans also allude to a dark episode in the country's history. An inside pocket is printed with the phrase, "the only kind made by white labor." The Wall Street Journal cited a Levi's spokesperson who explained that the company used the slogan after the introduction of the Chinese Exclusion Act in 1882, which barred Chinese laborers from entering the U.S. Mm. The Wall Street Journal reported that Levi's dropped this policy and the slogan in the 1890s, and the act was repealed in 1943. But these are in really priceless condition.
It lasted until 1943?
The act, Christ. Yeah. And proudly made with white labor.
Imagine how gay this sounds. Like if someone goes, "What are you doing today, Bob?" "Going down to the mine shaft with the denim archaeologist."
I hear it. I pick up what you're putting down, buddy.
Yeah, they got a happy hour there.
No, we're hunting for jeans.
Uh-huh.
Yeah?
Yep.
All right. So which stall is the glory
hole?
We're digging in the dirt for jeans.
Yep.
Yeah.
Way ahead of you.
They have pot stickers?
Do they say anything about the D-bag who bought these? You said 23-year-old had 86
two guys,
grand lying around?
Zip Stevenson and Kyle Hotner.
It's Jake Paul.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It's a little –
Kyle Hotner sounds like the best-looking frat guy ever.
He was old school.
Kyle Hotner's the guy with the convertible vet.
That's right. Pulls up with not a hair out of place.
That's right.
Yeah, looking at the
– wow.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Everything seems nuts until they sell it in 4 years for 2.7 million bucks or something, and then it doesn't seem nuts, right?
Absolutely.
All right, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Oh, my God, you're lame. Gina
Grad. That was the news with Gina Grad.
All right. San Diego Mic Drop coming up this weekend, October 28th, 29th. So you can come out and say hi to us there. Stand up there and live pod there. Jody Sweetin, A Cozy Christmas Inn. That premieres on Friday in the Hallmark Channel. Court Crandall, Bromates, in a theater or two, but also VOD now as we speak as well. Thanks for hanging with us, Court.
Oh, thanks for having me, you guys. Appreciate it.
Our pleasure. Until next time, Adam Corolla for Jody Sweetin and Court Crandall and Bo Bryan and Gina Grad saying mahalo.
Boo, sit down.
Get your copy of Adam's new book, Everything Reminds Me of Something. It's available everywhere finer books are sold. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744 and get your tickets to see the Ace Man. Get them now at adamcarolla.com.
You own, you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Gather around for Halloween with Pluto TV's 31 Nights of Horror. All month long, Pluto TV is bringing you the best Halloween movies, shows, and more. Watch classic horror movies like The Grudge or The Blair Witch Project, or scream along with your favorite stars like Ryan Reynolds in Life. Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies and TV shows. The best part, it's so free, it's chilling. No credit card, no sign up, no fees. Download the Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start screaming now.